by the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shewed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I'd like to use for a title this morning, a filling for the willing. A filling for the willing. If you take this prayer that Mary is praying, and if you would understand and do some research of that era of time and the poverty that they were living in Nazareth and the hardships of life that they understood and especially at that time and in the government and the Romans taking over, they had so heavily taxed the people that even if they did have, and we know because these young people, Mary and Joseph, are in the lineage of David, that not so many generations back, they would not have maybe regarded themselves as to be one in low estate or low esteem because they were of the lineage in the house of David. But because of things that had happened in their country and their nation, they were left with nothing but dreams and only things that had happened in their history. But they themselves are suffering poverty and they were destitute in many ways. And here God is revealing himself and Mary has had these encounters with the angels, and they've told her these things that's going to happen and how God is going to use her. And so she's praying and meditating these things and just maybe saying them out loud in her mind as God has revealed himself to her in these special manners. And she says, he hath filled the hungry with good things. Amen. And we know they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, you remember what Jesus said about that, they shall be filled. So those that are hungry are going to obtain good things, but the rich he hath sent away empty. Verse number 52, he's put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Fill the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Hallelujah. You know, if we would think about the perimeters and the things that we look to as containers that have a capacity and there's only so much they can take in, and unless that capacity is increased, after a while, it will come to a place of overflowing. The parameters of the container determine the capacity of what it can hold. And it stands to reason if our earthen vessel is filled to capacity with other things, obviously there will not be room for the things that we need from Christ. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is the reason that so many people, as it pertains to godly things, are going away empty because they've allowed themselves to be filled with other things. And oftentimes those that are rich and those that have prestige and those that have a place in society seem to feel no need for God in their life. Amen. But oh, brothers and sisters here today, if we could empty ourselves of self-promotion and self-preservation and pride that gets into our life and fills us, if we could empty ourselves of of those things and make our vessel empty and hungry for God. You know what? I have good news for you this morning. If you are hungry, He wants to fill. He will fill the hungry. Hallelujah. There is a filling for the willing. Hallelujah. If your life and your attitude is, I'm doing just fine. I'm making it fine the way I am. And I really don't see a need to change. And I really don't see a need for God in my life. And you're satisfied with those things that are filling your vessel at this moment. Sad story is, you will be sent away empty. Hallelujah. It is entirely possible to be filled with the wrong thing, and being filled with that wrong thing somehow manipulates the hunger or that sensation of understanding. There is something else that I need. There is something else in my life. Amen. And the enemy is so good with all of his counterfeits. Amen. Even as we speak about Moses, the pleasures of sin are for a season, amen. But we do have to acknowledge there are pleasure, amen, and that feeling of pleasure and that sensation of what people get from the things that are about them oftentimes causes them to have a wrong feeling or a wrong attitude about what they really need in their life. Amen. I tell you what I wish we could all do. Maybe all of us need to evaluate and take inventory of what is inside of us. And it might be if we would empty ourselves of some other things, we might once again develop a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that would cause us to be in that category of one that would be willing to have Christ fill us with all the goodness that He has. Amen. So we can be what He wants us to be. Can you say amen? There is a filling of the willing. If you're not willing, you'll never be filled with what God has. Amen. I wonder, has anybody ever made the mistake? If you drive a gasoline operated vehicle, probably you men that drive pickups, and you may have one vehicle that uses gasoline and another that uses diesel. Anybody ever made that mistake of pulling up to the pump? Just, you know, multitasking in your mind on something else, and you have vehicles that have both, so you're routinely filling up at both pumps, but this time you just happen to forget which one you're driving, and you know it's on empty. Woo! You pull in and fill up with the wrong thing. Put gasoline in that tank that's supposed to have diesel. Amen. Just about the time it shuts off and it's almost full, and you look and you realize, what in the world have I done here? Amen. You know, a gasoline motor won't run on diesel. Diesel won't run. You know, a diesel motor won't run on gasoline. The only thing you can do is empty that out. I hope I'm helping somebody here this morning. Amen. It might be I'm preaching to somebody here today. Amen. And you know, sometimes we, again, I've already mentioned some things, but sometimes we get puffed up and we're filled with pride. We come to a place we feel like that we just don't need God. We don't need the church. We don't need God's word. We're doing fine just like we are. Amen. When you're in that condition, you'll never be able to get what God has. But if you'd come to that understanding, I might be filled with the wrong wrong thing. It might be manipulating my sense of hunger. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. While I'm on this morning, I'm going to hit this a little bit. Sometimes when we've been saved a long time, and we know where to fill up, and we know what we ought to be filling up on, and we know what we ought to be putting into our spiritual man, there are times, even though we're saved and born again, the enemy will cause us to be filled with bitterness, or to be filled with hatred, or to be filled with something else. Amen. Our motor just don't run on that stuff. Come on now. If you're born again, those things are not going to be right in your life. And sometimes, even though we're saved and we're born again and we're filled with the Spirit, there are times things gets in our life. Amen. Through our mind and our other senses. Every once in a while, Brother Troy, I need to go to the altar and empty some of that stuff out and ask God to fill me again. Hallelujah. Oh, am I preaching to anybody in here this morning? How many believe there's a filling for the willing? If you're hungry, if you'll hunger and thirst for God, if you're hungry for God, if you have a desire for His Word, you'll make time to read it. You'll make time to go to His house. You'll make time to hear the preaching. If you're willing for God to fill your vessel, can you say amen? We sing the song sometimes. Here's another empty vessel. Fill it, Lord, another time. One more time, Lord, fill me. The enemy's tried to put some other things in there. I stopped at the wrong pump. Maybe I talked to the wrong person. Maybe I read the wrong thing. Maybe I listened to the wrong thing. Come on now. And all of a sudden there's something else. Amen. That I'm not used to it being in there. I need to empty that out so God can fill me with what He has. Hallelujah. Put the correct fuel in it and it'll start up and run good. Can you say amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'd like to take your attention to Luke chapter 18. Amen. Luke chapter 18. You that read the Bible, Bible readers are familiar with Luke chapter 18. It is a lesson on prayer in many regards. Many ways it can be applied to prayer, because it starts the chapter that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then it starts talking about that widow woman that needed to be avenged of her adversary. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18 starts with the story of the woman and the unjust judge. It ends with a man that is a poor blind beggar. Hallelujah. That receives his sight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But there's a number of things that are in that chapter. In Luke chapter 18, we have the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Amen. One of them realized he needed something. The other one didn't think he needed a thing. Hallelujah. And we know how that story ended up. The one that didn't think he needed anything didn't get anything from God. But the one that was empty, amen, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man went to his house justified. Hallelujah. Oh yes, there's a place in there in that chapter where they brought the infants to Christ. Oh yes, but also in that chapter is a story of a young man. Oftentimes he's referred to in different ways, but it's sandwiched in that chapter. We call him the rich young ruler. Amen. Matthew's the one that tells us he was young. Mark is the one that tells us he had great possessions. And Luke is the one that tells us that he was a ruler. Amen. So all three of these synonymous gospels have this account, and we know it's the same young man. So our translators just put it in our Bible, and it's in the margins oftentimes. He's the rich young ruler. Amen. How many remember him? Well, I saw a couple of hands, two hands maybe. How many remember the rich young ruler? Have y'all heard about him? Oh yes, he's one. If you looked at him, you'd be happy if you was a father, no doubt, to say, yeah, that's my boy. Amen. He loves God. Amen. Y'all hear me? He loves the Lord. He loves the Word of God. He knows he has committed the commandments to memory. I'm telling you, he's got a political career ahead of him. He's got financial backing behind him. I mean, he has got it together. Amen. Yes, the ministry of Jesus has taken root, and many people are hearing about him and coming to know Christ. And so he also, amen, because of his hunger and because he desires to have something more in his life, amen, let me preach to somebody here this morning. When it comes to the reality of us being born again and surrendering our life to Christ, Jesus Christ cannot be an add-on in your life. He can't be something else that you just tack on to what you're already doing. He has to be all or he will be nothing. Come on, let me preach to you. Amen. It's easy for us that have been saved a long, long time to learn how to have church and to learn how to go through the motions. But I have a feeling there's a lot of people in our churches that have allowed other things to come into their heart that has crowded out what you really need, amen, to be effective for Christ and to be effective in the ministry, because we've just allowed it. We've took it on as our nature. We took it on as our custom. We took it on as our culture, and it's no longer a reality of God being in us. And all we can think about is him, and all we want is more of him. Amen. It's just a part. We compartmentalize, and we go to work on Monday, and we deal with issues on Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and then Sunday we go to church, and we try to get that part in our life. But I want to challenge you this morning that Jesus Christ wants to be number one. He knows there's other things you have to do. He knows there's other things you have to see about. But until he is proper and in his proper place in your life, none of these other things can be exactly where they should be. There has to be a place to surrender, empty out everything else, and let Christ fill us. Amen. According to people that study it, among the Hindu religion, there's 350 million gods in that religion. Amen. All these things that this rich young ruler had, if he could have just tacked Christ onto what he already had. You know, but that's what a lot of these other religions have done. They just added on and added on and added on. Oh, I wish I could help somebody here this morning. Jesus looked at him like he looks at you, my friend, and like he looks at me, and he loves us. Amen. He loves. He always looks at us through eyes of love. Because he created us, he made us, and he knows exactly what we need. And he knows the only way we can be fulfilled is to be filled with him. I'm preaching to you this morning. There is a filling for the willing. Praise God. Amen. Jesus looked at him. He asked him the question, good master, what must I do? What? He even asked him one place, what good thing can I do? He's looking for something he can do. And if he'll do that, there'll be a transaction and Christ will give him something back. Amen. But Jesus understood, before I can fill him with what I know that he needs, before I can really give him what he really needs, first of all, I see inside of him him. I'm going to have to empty him out. I'm going to have to take all of that other stuff out of him before he can really be filled. I really believe his question was sincere. I believe his question was real. And I believe Christ was giving him the perfect answer that would have brought the solution, amen, to what this young man really wanted. I don't think he was just going through the motions. I really think he had a hunger for something. Amen. I believe there was something more that he wanted from God. And Jesus Christ realized it. Amen. And because of the sincerity of his question, Christ answered him so sincerely. You go sell all that you have. I know there's a lot of people that's got off the track on this and trying to figure out exactly what Jesus meant. Amen. But we know the love of money is the root of all evil. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? Amen. God, Christ knew there was a lot of other things down in his heart. It wasn't that he was against him being prosperous or didn't want him to be rich. It wasn't that. He understood the attachment that man had to that. And Christ knew unless he got rid of all of those things that were in his heart, he could never have really what he was asking Christ for in the first place. Am I helping anybody in here this morning? Amen. He had to get him emptied out before he could fill him. Amen. The sad story and the sad part of this, he went away without accepting the challenge that Christ laid out for him. He made the decision and walked away from it. Amen. Jesus simply told him, keep the commandments. Amen. Christ will never be an add-on in your life. He has to be all. Luke chapter 18 and 21. And he said, when Jesus said to him, keep the commandments. And Jesus named five of them. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Shalt not steal. Honor thy father and thy mother. Don't bear false witness. Those things. He said, I'm A+. 100%. I really don't think y'all are feeling this like I am right here, right now. The heart of Christ was broken for that young man because he loved him. Jesus loved him. He's asking a question, a legitimate question, a real question. What must I do? Jesus loved him. He said, keep the commandments. I really don't think he was lying when he said, I've done that. What other good thing can I do? It was at that point Christ realized there's some things here that we got to work on. He's going to have to take these things out so I can fill him with these other things. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was, oh man, he was very sorrowful. Here again, we learn more about him, for he was very rich. Amen. And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Here we see it, what the problem was for this young man. His riches, his prestige, all the things of his past was hindering him from moving forward into his future. It's one thing for somebody to have to come to a determination about whether or not they're going to give up their riches to follow Christ. But think of the multitudes of people that do not have riches. And yet they don't understand. They just need to turn loose of everything else. Amen. Completely empty out. Say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Amen. Let's take a quick look at the overview of this chapter. The poor widow, beginning of chapter 18, is avenged of her adversary. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. The publican goes home justified. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, he did. Praise God. He went home. He went home saved. Hallelujah. The rich young ruler goes away sorrowful. And on the way out of town, amen, as they're approaching Jericho, the poor blind beggar cried out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and worked in his life and restored healing to his eyes. Amen. Do you see the difference? There's a multitude of illustrations and examples in Luke chapter 18. If you are hungry, you have a judge that is far above the unjust judge, and he'll fill you with all the goodness of Christ. Amen. You have one that stands ready to meet you at the altar. Amen. The same place the publican smote on his chest and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. While the one praying so close to him can see nothing but a reflection of how good he is and how holy he is. Amen. He's so good at it. He can enumerate how good he is. Even when he prays to God, he tells him he pays tithes. He tells him that he gives alms. He tells him that he fasts. He tells him all of these things that he does. But really, he's telling God all the time, I'm just here to tell you how good I am and how much I really don't need you. But when you come like the publican that is broken and lost and hurting and confused and deceived because life has let you down and friends have let you down, I want to tell you about a Jesus Christ that looks into your eyes. And he loves you, and he wants to fill you with all of his fullness. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, verse 53. I'm ready for somebody to get a song. He hath filled. That's what Mary said. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Somebody's not hearing me preaching here this morning. I said somebody's not hearing me. I hope somebody is. He hath filled the hungry. The hungry. With good things. But he sent the rich away. Empty. Here's a rich young ruler that can't give up these things that Christ knows he needs to empty out. Again, it's those derivatives of the heart. It's not so much, while I'm preaching to you right now, don't get your mind on the riches and the money and all that. I mean, there's places for that. It was the root, it was the starting point in his heart that Christ realized was attached to all of that stuff. I mean, Christ was going to give him treasures in heaven. He was going to give him more than he could ever hope to expect or gain in this world. But he had to be emptied out of those things in his heart so he could receive. Oh, I hope y'all are hearing my heartbeat this morning. I'm reaching for somebody here this morning. I know how the enemy tries to do. He tries to paint a picture of all of these things that you're seeing. Amen. And somebody, I don't know, somebody probably messed it up somewhere with bad information, but I gotta, if I get saved, I can't do this. I can't go here and I can't wear that and I can't listen to this. And all of these things he puts in our mind, and it's a way to distract, amen, and to manipulate the sense of hunger, of spiritual hunger that God put in your heart. And he's saying, if you'll just empty that stuff out, don't even worry about that stuff. Just seek after me with all of your heart. Amen. I'm ready for a song. Piano player, somebody coming. Come on up. Man. I guess sometimes I carry these altar calls so long that when I ask for singers, they really don't believe me. They think I'm going another 30 minutes. But sometimes I really am just about out of corn here. I don't want to keep grinding, but I want somebody to hear me this morning. He wants to fill you. Jesus wants to fill you. There is a filling for the willing. Amen. I remember that little story. Sister Becky testified one night when she was here taking care of my grandmother in her senior years. She told that story. There's a lot of poor families in the Appalachians. They say it's one of the poorest areas of the United States. People live in those mountains. Some of them, they say, have never been out of the county they were born in. They just stay right there. They really know very little about the outside world. And I don't know that that was necessarily one of those families, but at least in that area, poor family. Woman with several children. One of these little children had to be hospitalized for a few days. Even Brother Todd, in the midst of this poverty, yet this family had been taught to be thankful and be respectful. And that's the good thing. You know, we need to teach our families, our children, those things. You know, a lot of times I think a lot of government assistance has caused people to become unthankful. The Bible spoke about a time that we would be. But here this little daughter's in the hospital. And they ask her what she wants to eat, what she wants to drink for breakfast, dinner, you know, two or three meals a day. And I guess it must have been that first morning for breakfast, and they brought the little girl a glass of milk along with her breakfast. She's 8 or 9, 10 years old maybe. And so she sees this full glass of milk sitting there with her breakfast to eat, and she wants it. She wants to drink it, but she says to the nurse, she says, "Ma'am, how deeply may I drink?" And the nurse is like, "What? Oh, how deeply may I drink?" And they figured out that they didn't have enough milk for the whole family. So if they had a glass of milk, one had to drink a little of it, but don't drink too deep, because somebody beside you has got to drink some more. And so they picked up on that. And the nurse answered her by saying, "Honey, you drink as deeply as you want to drink. And if you drink that whole glass, we'll go back and get you another one and bring you another whole glass you can have all by yourself." Praise God. You know, really, that's what God wants to do to us. I don't know why people get the feeling or the understanding that somehow that God is putting us on a ration. He has a filling for the willing. And another thing I don't understand, why people allow certain things in their life and bitterness and things that come up to get in the place of those things that Christ would fill them with. He wants you to drink. He wants you to drink deep. He wants you to get all you need and all you want. But he wants you to make room for what he has. Five people mentioned in this chapter, all of which had great needs. Three of the five, beside the infants, got their needs met, and two did not. The Pharisee went away just like he came. He went away empty. The publican went home justified. Hallelujah. The rich young ruler went away empty. Stand with me all over this house. These altars are open. if there's anyone here this morning that would like to come down and seek God for a while, I'd encourage you to do it. Pour your heart out. Sometimes that's what we mean when we say pour your heart out. All of your misgivings, all of your misunderstandings, all of your hurt, all the things that didn't work out like you wanted them to and thought they should have. And again, I keep feeling this to say this over and over. This is not just for people that are unsaved. Sometimes the church folks get things collected that occupies good space, Brother Arnold. If they could just get that out, they could have more. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands in the house of God here today. Let's just take a moment while they're getting ready to sing here. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord. Lord, I believe that there is conviction moving in this house today. I believe you're drawing people. I believe you're concerned about the lost. I believe that you're concerned about the saints. So, God, the Pharisee and the publican, you had enough to help them both. And I know you can do the same for us today, Lord. I know you can save. I know you can heal. I know you can change lives. I know you can give people the word of wisdom and knowledge, understanding. And whatever we need to receive from you today, Lord, you can give it. You have it. I know you have it. Help me, Lord, to empty myself of those things that are occupying space, that are doing me no good, that's never going to help me. And fill me with you, Lord. I want to be filled with you. We praise you for it. Sing, sister. The altars are open. Everyone that will, let's not tarry too long. Come on in. Come down. Let's seek God for a while.
As my feet walk through dry and barren places.
Holy, holy, holy.
And my soul
and sisters,
has felt no
God wants to feel. God wants to feel. There's a feeling for the willing. I know there is. He'd like for you to have what he has. He'd like for you to be filled with his presence. He'd like for you to know him in a way you've never known him before.
Oh,
yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'm hungry, Lord, for another wave of glory.
Lord, I'm hungry for
yes, 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 yes. Oh, hallelujah.
It's a fresh touch.
Amen. Oh, yes, Lord.